are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wednesday, May the 30th, one more day of May left, and then we reach June. What happens in June? None other than the 2018 NBA Draft, a day that we are counting down desperately, not just the days, seemingly the hours and the seconds. Oh, we're so excited for the 2018 NBA Draft here on Locked On Kings. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. I have the pleasure and the privilege of being your host here of the Locked On Kings podcast. And if you are new and unfamiliar with what this podcast is, if you're looking for a hub this summer, a place that you can spend to get all of the news, all of the updates, all of the talk you could possibly want in regards to what the Sacramento Kings are doing in this monumental summer, this monumental offseason, this is the place for you. The Locked On Kings podcast, we have everything. We have stories, we have updates, we have responses, we have interviews, some conversation with some of the best and greatest basketball minds, not just in Sacramento, but around the NBA world. Also, player interviews from time to time as well. There is just so much here that I can promise you. And if you're new, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast here today and hopefully in the future. But here's the cool thing. It doesn't just end with this summer. As we get into next season, I can promise you a lot. Yes, we're already looking forward to next season with even more player interviews hopefully to come, working with the Kings on that. Plenty of talk with some of the greatest players and people surrounding the organization, guys like Doug Christie, Grant Napier from the Sacramento Kings play-by-play TV broadcaster, Gary Gerald, the radio broadcaster, Jason Ross, former host of this podcast. We have all of them that are ready to talk and continue the conversation as we go into the 2018-2019 season. So for those of you who are new, welcome. Glad you're here. For those who are returning, it's awesome to have you back, and thank you for being just as excited as I am to be a part of this offseason. Look, man, this summer is going to be fantastic, and it's already off to such a great start with the Kings winning the draft lottery in some way, shape, or form. They didn't completely win it, but they certainly got a W by moving from around 7 to 2. We've talked about that a lot already. That's in the past. Now we look to the future and all these conversations of what the Sacramento Kings can and can't do. We're going to dive head first into all the draft stuff here in the coming days and coming weeks. But I had a conversation today that I wanted to have in regards to the free agency a little bit, something that comes after the draft, and there's a reason why it comes after the draft, but I wanted to open up the conversation a little bit today because so many people I see on King's Twitter, King's social media, on Reddit, and just in general in conversations, they're very interested in what the Kings can and should do in free agency. So we're going to address that a little bit today. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for joining me here. I am a on-air host, and I am a multimedia journalist for Sports 1140 KHTK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. We here are deeply ingrained in the culture of Sacramento and in the franchise itself, have a lot of great connections. And without being actually in the Kings draft room or in the war room, hearing everything going on, we're about as close as you can get at this radio station. I myself have phenomenal access along with some of the great names that cover the Kings, guys like Jason Jones, James Hamm. There's so many people that I have the pleasure of working with and names that you're going to be hearing on this podcast in the coming weeks. So before we get into this free agency thing, I also wanted to let you know the Locked On Podcast Network is huge and it's growing by the day. I love that you're spending time with me here on Locked On Kings. And if you're just a Kings fan, I respect that and admire that completely. It's the best team to root for, so you're doing a great job. But if you're looking for good content and a good insight on where other teams are as the draft approaches, I encourage you to check out some of the other Locked On podcasts. You're going to want to follow Locked On Suns in some way, shape, or form because they'll give you some good insight and a good idea of not just what the Phoenix Suns are thinking, but what their fans are thinking, what their media members are thinking. So you get a better idea of Phoenix's approach to the draft that ultimately has a massive effect on the Sacramento Kings' approach to the draft. Are they going to try and snatch Doncic away from the Kings if the Kings want them at two? Are they going to try and take DeAndre Ayton and play it safe, which means the Kings will have Doncic or any other pieces? Are they interested in trading the pick? You can learn all of this and get this perspective from the Locked On Suns. You could also check out any of the other Locked On podcasts to find out. We know the Boston Celtics are now very interested in Bagley. Well, check out Locked On Celtics to find out more about where that interest comes from and if the Celtics are really serious about trying to move up in the draft to be able to take Bagley. You can learn all of that perspective so much better there than you ever could from me. Also, if you want to follow the NBA finals that are going on or about to start tomorrow, you want to follow that closely. Also, with broad coverage of the NBA draft, Locked On NBA, that podcast covers everything. It is now every single day of the week. I encourage you to check that out as well. If you're a baseball fan, there's Locked On MLB. If you're a football fan, there's Locked On NFL. All of that is there for you. Enough of the housekeeping, enough of the previews. Let's dive into this free agency conversation. So Vlade Divac and the Sacramento Kings front office walked themselves into the NBA free agency store because the 2018 product is available, and there are five players that catch their eye. Yes, these are the five players that have been rumored to be in the Sacramento Kings wheelhouse, whether that means financially or players that would potentially be interested in playing for the Sacramento Kings, realistic talent that the Sacramento Kings can go out and get. I know you've heard some of these names come out before between myself and my co-host Charles T. Hamilton. He and I have talked about this a number of times, but now with the draft approaching and free agency just after that, the conversation is getting more and more real. Those five names for you: Aaron Gordon, Clint Capella, Julius Randle, Jabari Parker, and Mario Hezonja. Those five names are extremely important because, in my opinion, one of those five is going to be a Sacramento King by the start of next season. I think it would be a failure is not a right word, but I would certainly be disappointed to not see one of these five names on the Kings roster. That being said, I'm not perfectly fine with all five. There are certainly some names out there, or a couple of these names in particular, that I would like to see the Kings go all out for. I put it out on Twitter a couple of days ago to grasp some of the reactions of Sacramento Kings fans and whether they like certain names over others. And of course, Sacramento Kings fans, they always show up. You are always great. And that's going to continue right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you want to be a part of this podcast, you can absolutely do so. You can find me directly and contact me directly on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHDK. You can find me there. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I get responses after every podcast from you guys, and I'm so thankful to be able to have that conversation with you. I've said it a million times. This is not my forum to talk down to you. This is your platform to have a conversation with me, and do so on Twitter or via email. So I put this tweet out a couple days ago, and I put only three out of the five names out there. I put Capella, Clint Capella, Aaron Gordon, or Julius Randle. Where are you throwing the money? I only put those three names out there because I think those are the top three on the Sacramento Kings list and the three names the Kings are most likely to be trying to go after. That doesn't mean I want all three of them, but those three are the biggest in my mind, and I got a lot of responses. I'm going to read some of those for you from a listener to KHDK and also a listener of the Locked On Kings podcast, Matt, his at Cronky209. He said his number one pick is Clint Capella, and his number two pick, which I didn't have on this list, is Julius Randle. He would love to see the Kings go out and get a big in free agency. Now, this all, again, pretty much plays off of what the Sacramento Kings do in the draft. So before I read any more of those, let me explain what I mean by that. The NBA draft is always a tough conversation because every single year, teams look at best player available versus biggest need. I honestly tend to lean more in the camp of biggest need. And now that's gotten the Kings in trouble in the past. It's gotten a lot of teams in trouble in the past, and I recognize that. However, I also recognize the benefits, the pros, and the cons to going out and get the best player available when you have positions that are already stacked or loaded, in particular with this roster. You think that you have your point guard of the future going forward in De'Aaron Fox. So unless there was a point guard out here that absolutely blew your mind, the next Chris Paul in this draft, you don't want to go out and get a point guard, in my opinion, because you've already invested in De'Aaron and you want to give him time to be able to take over that role and be that star that the Kings were hoping they would be when they drafted him last year. So that being said, there are two major holes on this roster right now. That is the small forward position and the power forward position. So by that logic, some of you would approach me and say, well, what about Harry Giles? He hasn't gotten an opportunity at that power forward position. If the Kings went out and got a power forward, whether it was free agency or it was in the draft, wouldn't that take a spot away from him? Don't buy too much in to the Harry Giles hype. And what I mean by that is that Harry Giles has not yet gotten the opportunity on the floor to prove himself and prove himself worthy of having that position full time. You can't hold that against him because of his injury, but you also can't use that as an invalid excuse to not draft or sign a player in that position like I feel you could with De'Aaron Fox. So there's the difference there. Now that we've established that, let's get back into this list. So let's go off of two scenarios. Let's say the Sacramento Kings or the Phoenix Suns don't take DeAndre Ayton, number one overall, and the Kings take Ayton. That is a center. That is a big man. They definitely are in need then of a small forward, to which I think the Kings are going to try and be throwing money at Jabari Parker or Mario Hezonja to fill that small forward hole. Or let's say the Kings take Luka Doncic or Michael Porter Jr. Now they have that hole to fill at the big power forward or the center position, to where they're more interested in an Aaron Gordon, Julius Randle, or Clint Capella. So keep that in mind. But ultimately, Matt saying he would like Capella number one or Randle number two, I'm assuming he is going off of the idea that the Kings will take Doncic or a small forward in the draft. Another listener to the podcast and a listener to KHDK, Steve Svedson, at SSvedson19. He says Gordon number one, then Randle number two, and Clint Capella number three. A Kings fan, Chris Cogren, I believe is how it is, says that he thinks the Rockets, Magic, and Lakers are all going to match these players, so it might be a waste of time. That sparked a good conversation, and that's an interesting point. We're going to dive more into that a little bit later, but we will talk about the other team's perspectives and why they may or may not want to match players. Clint Capella is a big name there. He had a phenomenal season with the Houston Rockets. They are expected to try and do everything they can to keep him around. Is it going to require max money to keep him there in Houston? It's certainly going to require close to max, if not max money, for the Kings to try and take him away. Jabari Parker is another name that many are bringing up. People would love to see Jabari Parker. Ryan Blank brings up Mario Hezonja. Brandon says Gordon. Turner says Jabari Parker. Nick offers Marcus Smart. He would love to see Marcus Smart play. There's a front. See, that's what I'm talking about. A point guard, shooting guard. There's such a load at that position already, assuming the Sacramento Kings keep their core of Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic and Buddy Hield together. So I would stray away from the Marcus Smart pickup. Ultimately, a lot of good response, and continue to send that response to me. Now I'm going to share my opinion on everything. Let's break down these two scenarios, and I'll give you my perfect scenario for each one. Perfect scenario A, the Phoenix Suns do not draft DeAndre Ayton, and the Sacramento Kings end up with DeAndre Ayton. I think the Sacramento Kings need to go for Mario Hezonja in that position. Jabari Parker, to me, I see the talent there, and I recognize that when the Bucks originally selected him, he was expected to be one of the next best players in the NBA. He has been injury riddled, and it's so frustrating and so upsetting that I don't believe he is worth max money. And it's not fair because of the injuries that he's dealt with. Obviously, the talent is still there, and we've seen it in the limited action that he's been able to be on the floor. But with those injury issues and with the brutal truth that the Sacramento Kings have to overspend in free agency to get any player to come, in my opinion, Jabari Parker is not going to be worth the price tag that he is going to command from the Kings if you want to see him here wearing a Sacramento uniform. As for Mario Hezonja, he fits the mold in a lot of ways, good and bad. A European player that mixes in and fits in well with the roster and the culture that Vlade has been trying to build here in Sacramento. He's been overshadowed a lot because of quite frankly, just playing in Orlando and it not being very good there in Orlando. But Mario is a very skilled player, capable of hitting the outside shot. I think an underrated defender, but that is my opinion. But certainly a guy that could fill that small forward position and could play it well, kind of combo it alongside Bogdan Bogdanovic. For his career, not too great of numbers, not the sexiest of numbers, averaging 6.9 points per game. But last season, he averaged 9.6 points per game, on average a 44% shooter from the field, an 81% free throw shooter. He is a player that is going to fill that gap, not completely, but he's going to be going into his fourth season, only 23 years old. The youth is a positive as well. And you'll notice with a lot of these names that are on this list, actually all of these names on this list, that youth is the theme. The Sacramento Kings do not want to go out and sign somebody who's maybe in the latter parts or the middle of their prime. With their target age is going to be in that 22 to 26 or 27 range, because the Kings are looking to bring someone in, no matter the length of the contract, they're going to want to bring someone in that fits the mold of this team growing together and in a year or two developing into that playoff caliber program that could potentially, in years to come, be a core that could win some NBA championships. Mario, I think, would fit that core, and he hasn't gotten that much of an opportunity to prove that he can be that guy in Orlando. I think it would be a good signing for the Kings if they brought him in here, assuming that they took a big in the draft. That being said, Mario should not be on the Kings' radar at all if they ended up with a Michael Porter Jr. or a guy like Luka Doncic. So let's go in the other route. Let's say with the number two pick, the Sacramento Kings take Luka Doncic, and he is going to take over that small forward position. Kings should not be even looking at Parker and Hezonja for the money that they're going to command to come here. My dream scenario there, there's three names: Randall, Capella, and Gordon. My dream scenario is Aaron Gordon. He scares a lot of people away also because he's a little unknown from Orlando. But let me tell you, Aaron Gordon fits so many holes that the Sacramento Kings need. The youth is there. He is a young star that can immediately become the best player, if not the second best player on this roster right away. Last season, he was really the man in Orlando, averaged 17.6 points per game, also pulled down nearly 8 rebounds a game, shot 43% from the field. His three-point shooting has been improving. He got a lot better from the corner. His corner three is getting better, and he's starting to expand his game away from the rim, but he is a freak athlete. We saw what he was able to do in the dunk contest a couple of years ago. Now, that doesn't translate too well to the NBA game, but as a hungry rebounder, a physical body, young player like I mentioned, and somebody that can come in and I believe make an immediate impact. And if the Kings could lock him up to a max contract for 3, 4, 5 years, he fits perfectly into the mold of where the Sacramento Kings are trying to go. Wouldn't Clint Capella fit in the same way? Yes. However, my concern is that Clint Capella was the big man flash in the pan that exploded on the scene this season, and he benefited from one guy in particular, and it's not James Harden. Clint Capella benefited from Chris Paul, just like DeAndre Jordan benefited from Chris Paul in LA. And I'm not saying DeAndre Jordan isn't talented, and I'm not saying Clint Capella isn't talented, because that's just plain wrong. But Chris Paul makes all of his teammates, but especially athletic bigs, better. He's done it time and time again throughout his career. DeAndre Jordan, the reason why DeAndre Jordan is a household name and has the contract that he has today and has the prestige that he has today, and the reason why Lob City even began with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan in LA, was because of Chris Paul. Clint Capella benefited so much this season from Chris Paul that I worry that if the Kings were to throw max money at him, which is what it would take to bring him here to Sacramento, if the Kings decided to go that route, it would not be a good investment, because I don't think Clint Capella outside of Houston, outside of a team with Chris Paul, is going to be nearly as good as he was this season with the Rockets. That's a concern for me. Julius Randle, therefore, is my second pick if the Kings wouldn't or don't match or land Aaron Gordon, who is a restricted free agent, by the way. So, depending upon what the Orlando Magic want to do, they can match him and bring him back. But Julius Randle is another guy that really got overshadowed in LA because of the fact that he came out, he was drafted, and the Lakers were looking at him as the next guy to really take over. This was when they still had D'Angelo Russell, so they were looking to add him into that core. Well, ultimately, he got hurt, you remember, right? I think it was during the preseason that he got hurt, was out his entire rookie year, and really all the hype surrounding him kind of died off. That doesn't mean he's not still a good player. In fact, he is a very talented player, but he is certainly not where he wants to be or where many expected him to be. But I would not be surprised at all if he is a target that the Kings try and go out and get. Had a good season in 2017-2018 that was overshadowed by Kyle Kuzma and I almost said LeVar Ball because everybody just assumes that any ball in the NBA has LeVar's name in front of it. I'm talking, of course, about Lonzo Ball. 16.1 points per game, 8 rebounds, 2.6 assists in 2017-2018. A 55% shooter from the field, which is very nice to see. A very physical, a young Zach Randolph, quite honestly. A guy that could come in and could continue to learn a lot from Zach Randolph, who I expect will be back in a Kings uniform next season. That's a different conversation for a different day. But Julius Randle is number two on my list. If you can't get Aaron Gordon and you're looking for a big in free agency, Julius Randle is the guy that you have to go out and get. Again, another young player and someone who might be easy to take away from the Los Angeles Lakers, who are looking to save as much money as they can and have as much money as they can available to make a run at either LeBron James, Paul George, or even both of them. So that might be a target that the Sacramento Kings are going out and trying to get. Any of those names jump out to you and a guy that you want right away, let me know at Matt George KHTK. Which out of those five would you like to see the Kings throw all of their money at to bring here in Sacramento? Which one of those guys do you want to see no matter what happens in the draft? Send that to me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter. You can also email me mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. Do you agree or disagree with my takes on those players? Let me know right now. I would love to hear from you and continue that conversation. At the end of yesterday's podcast, I had a lot of fun talking about courts in the league. Not just arenas, but courts, and the best courts in the NBA. And I'm talking about design, look, color scheme, logo, even name that they put on there. I got a lot of great responses both on Facebook and on Twitter, and I wanted to share some of those with you. Again, I had the unpopular opinion. My favorite court in the league is the Los Angeles Lakers court because of the history and because of the meaning that every single time there was a game on that court, at least for me growing up, there was something big was going to happen because, of course, Kobe and Shaq with the rivalry with the Sacramento Kings. I love that color scheme and I love that court. I hate the Lakers' guts and I always will have a bone to pick with that organization growing up a diehard fan of the Sacramento Kings. But that being said, I didn't let that cloud my judgment of picking the Los Angeles Lakers court, that court in Staples Center, as my favorite court in the league. I got beat up for that take on Twitter and on Facebook. I understand that. Don't kill me too bad. I understand I'm betraying so many hearts and the trust of a lot of Kings fans by saying that. But I wanted to share with you some of my favorite responses that I got to the favorite courts in the league, and I got a lot. My friend Chris on Facebook says, with bias, he picks the Sacramento Kings, and I talked about statement courts and stuff like that. I'm not talking about those in general. I'm talking more just the home courts that are the normal everyday courts, and so he says the purple one, the purple Kings court. Greg says Bucks or the Hornets. Hunter says the Sixers. John throws out a lot of them out there. He likes the Brooklyn Nets court, the Sixers court, the Bucks court, and the Celtics court. The Celtics court is clean as well, also because of the history just of the garden there, and that sharp green looks really good. I like also another one I threw out there kind of as an honorable mention is the old Minnesota Timberwolves court that kind of had the different shades of wood and had the trees. One of my favorite courts, especially when Kevin Garnett played there, the young Kevin Garnett back in the day. Someone agrees with me. Can Veer says Lakers, Sixers, Celtics, and Hornets. Some love for our Sacramento Monarchs here on Facebook as well. Sean agrees with me also about the Timberwolves one. He also throws out Bucks and Hornets. Bucks is one of the ones that jumps out the most that I'm seeing through both Facebook and Twitter on social media. So I would say amongst the listeners, Bucks is probably the number one winner, with the Timberwolves and the Hornets being a close second. I'm curious, for those of you that listen to the podcast but didn't get yours in, you can still send those to me at MattGeorgeKHDK on Twitter or mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. on email as well. Just send me your favorite courts, what you like and don't like about the designs. Even make it Kings specific as well, what you like and don't like about any of the courts that the Sacramento Kings roll out there. Continue to do that. Share your responses for the conversation that we had today about free agency. All of that is good content and good stuff, and I want to continue that conversation with you. Again, after the NBA draft, I'm going to have a lot of experts in here, and we're going to be talking specifically about where the Sacramento Kings should be spending their money and what guys they should go out and get. Full coverage of free agency is coming in a few months, or a little over a month. But now that this conversation is done, we'll continue to bring it up from time to time. But we're going to get deep, deep into this NBA draft conversation as the weeks fly by. We are so close to June, which means the draft is just over the horizon. I'm so excited for that day and hope that you will be spending that day and all the lead up to that day with us right here on Locked On Kings. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you soon. You are listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.